Thank you for joining us on another episode of Get Ready News. I'm Mark Lindstedt. This is my brother David Lindstedt. And we're here to talk about things we see in the news and where we might find those in the Bible and what it means to the Christian of today and what it even means to the person who's not saved. Maybe they should be looking at these things as well as they consider their eternity.
Exactly. There's a lot of things that are covered in the Bible that gives it credence to the Bible and tells that this is actually the Word of God. We see all sorts of fantastic prophecies and other things that are described in the Bible.
Yeah, I think of, we're coming up on Easter, and I think of the actual prediction of the Bible or the prophecy of the Bible that it exactly, I think it's 173,880 days from the time it said that Jesus would ride in or the Messiah would ride into the city, and he did exactly on the day.
Exactly, right from when they were reconstructing the temple when it was, or the city, the Temple Mount, when it was reconstructed, a certain timeline, and it filled it exactly.
And of course, we know that they went from declaring Hosanna, Hosanna, the Messiah has come, to kill him.
Yeah.
So, well, I hate to say it, but I guess I don't hate to say it. I'm happy they did, because without his sacrifice, I wouldn't be going to the kingdom of heaven.
Amen on that. It says in the Bible that if the princes of this world would have known, this is over in 1 Corinthians 2, if they would have known what was going to happen and what his death on the cross would have meant, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah. Well, what are we seeing in the news today? That's where we're going to start. This is a news program, so let's talk a little bit about the news. You shared with me this article here just recently. It says, once unthinkable question, could EV sales decline this year?
Absolutely. You know, for quite a while, the EVs have been really promoted, and they've even Biden's come out and said by 2030, you know, this is to happen. And then Newsom out in California says there is no more internal combustion engines to be sold after a certain date. And they're really pushing hard for this EV electric vehicle thing, but it looks like it's starting to fall back. There's really finding shortcomings on demand for these.
Yeah, there's a huge shortcomings. In fact, when I was looking, I found this article about Ford cutting its F-150 Lightning production. And the first thing they said, well, decline in want. And then they came out really quick and said, oh, no, we mean we're gonna control our quality better. That's why we're reducing staff and reducing our output.
Yeah, I've watched several websites do comparisons on these vehicles, like a diesel truck compared to this Lightning truck. And the Lightning truck comes out with what seems to be an impressive 300 miles range. But when you put just a regular 6,000-pound load on the back of it, it's 90 miles, and you just can't do anything.
Well, I think I saw one and I won't mention their name because I don't want to get in trouble, but there's a famous car reviewing company in Colorado, I think. And they put the trailer on it, and it went from 300 to 90-something. Oh. And then while they were driving down the highway, he got a half mile. He says, oh, we just lost 2 miles of range.
Yep.
So they're great. Electric motors have huge torque. They have amazing pulling capabilities. But battery technology is just not there.
That's right. I don't think it's that people don't want this product.
Yeah.
There's other things that play in this. One is the batteries. Mm-hmm. If you think that this is a climate saving option, it's not. It's even more disastrous for the climate. The batteries aren't there. The motors are fantastic, but they just can't last as long as a gasoline engine. And they've got very, very big weaknesses to water. I watched one where a lady drove her Tesla into the thing and into the pond, and it caught on fire.
Oh, wow. Well, I think about just the problem that there is converting a fossil fuel, because right now most of our electricity is made by coal-fired power plants. Now, if you really want to be green, we should be all nuclear right now.
Absolutely.
But coal-fired power plants. And then I hear that we lose 30% converting from a fossil fuel to electricity. Mm. So not only are you having a problem with the batteries, but now you're losing potential energy by converting from one energy source to a different.
Yeah, you can never get in what you never get out what you put in.
Yeah.
You know, you look at a wind turbine, and that thing spins in the air, you know, and it's making power, but you lose so much power from the blade through the transmission to the generator. You don't get
Yeah.
Watt for watt.
Yeah. And you sent over this article here about General Motors, and they're talking about their EV productions.
Yeah, they're cutting back on theirs, too. They were at 1 million cars. I think they're still trying for 1 million cars, but they've already cut back to 400,000 this next year, and even 300, and there's been rumors of 200 in this article that they may be cutting back onto that. But the thing that I found interesting also is the lady who was over the GM EV section, one of the reporters asked her, where are we getting the power to charge these? And she says, well, you have to ask the electric company. It comes from them.
I saw that interview.
And then the electric company guy was there, and he says, where do you get your power at? And he says, oh, mainly coal.
Yeah.
So you're actually driving a coal-powered car, yes. Not a gasoline-powered car, an electric car.
I remember her first answer to that question, where's the electricity come? She goes, from the building. And he goes, but where does the building get electricity? Well, it's tied to our other factory, our other building. It comes from that building. And finally, they get to the actual energy producer for the state. And he's like, well, we're 96% coal fire.
Yeah. I think people would drive electric vehicles if they were actually dependable and they could replace what we are doing now. I heard that there was a company that bought a fleet of buses. And they turned them back in because they didn't even begin to do what they described they would do.
Well, I for one, I've driven a Tesla Model S. I've driven the dual motor, the Plaid. I've driven a Tesla Model X Plaid. These are fun cars. Don't get me wrong. They are the coolest car on the market, but they can't replace my current car.
Exactly. I've watched videos where these Teslas can outrun Lamborghinis in an eighth of a mile or something like that just because they have so much torque. And, you know, we've run trains like this forever.
Oh, yeah.
Trains are actually diesel engines hooked up to a generator that powers electric motors.
Yeah.
So that diesel engine is not running the train like you would think it is. It's actually powering electric motors.
Yeah. And the difference is there's no battery.
Exactly. A direct drive system.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm even in favor of hybrids.
Yeah.
I know you had a hybrid once, and they seem to be a pretty solid thing. Of course, there's not a lot of people that know how to work on them, so you kind of suffer there.
Well, I had a hybrid Ford Fusion, and it was the platinum, titanium, the whole works. And to tell you the truth, the car was amazing. I would get 35 miles to the gallon, 40 in the city, and it really did well. But here's the problem. I had a wreck in that car. I was coming back from a camp, and I rear-ended a guy. It was actually a big pile-up on I-44, and I rear-ended somebody, and my airbags didn't even deploy.
Mm.
But it was bad enough that it was going to need some body work and a few other things. But the insurance company came back to me and said, it's totaled. And I said, what do you mean it's total? The airbags haven't deployed. He says, that it's a hybrid. We don't want to trace all the wiring trouble that you're going to have from now on.
Yeah, there are definitely some drawbacks. You know, I've worked in building automation and computer stuff for a long time, and the more computerized you get, the more problems you can get, and the harder it is to find things and find issues.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. I understand what they're saying.
Yeah. Well, and then one other thing that I really want to make very apparent that a lot of people don't know, if you go to YouTube and you Google TED Talk Austin for like Austin, Texas, about electric vehicles, and the man has done this research, and he says, okay, electric vehicle is not better for the environment.
Hmm.
If you assume that each vehicle had 0% carbon footprint by the time it got to the dealership, then you have a fighting chance.
Hmm. Yeah.
But he said to produce a regular internal combustion engine car, it takes 6 tons of carbon emissions by how they measure it. But an electric car is 20 tons of carbon emissions to make it, just to get it to the dealer. So it's already 14 tons of carbon negative, horrible, in a bad way, than a regular car. And he even came up with the calculation that if you don't replace the battery, if you never have to replace a motor, you can get your money back after 500,000 miles.
Wow. And that just speaks to where we're at in technology for this. We're just not there.
Yeah.
And I'm all for, I don't mind solar, I don't mind wind power, I don't mind most of these things, but for us to think that we could just turn the switch off to a normal coal plant or a nuclear plant and run on wind. Wind only gives you power 30% of the time.
Yeah.
One of the things, I have a friend that works on those, and once the wind gets up to 45 miles per hour, it just freewheels.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even run until it gets up to about 10 or 15 miles an hour. So you may see it spinning, doesn't mean it's making power.
Well, I know that from my experience in sales, I was in electrical sales for a long time, that if you wanted to put a wind turbine energy system on your land, we had to do a study on your land, and you had to have a minimum of 11 miles an hour average wind.
Yep.
Just to even make the thing pay for itself after 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, we watch a lot of these shows where the people live off grid and they put those little turbines up, props up, and those people are fantastically happy, and that's because they don't have power otherwise.
Yeah.
So this is like, if you come from zero power to 30% power, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
But when you're used to, like my wife and I are used to turning the switch on and it always works, it's not fantastic to be 70%. Yeah.
When you're used to 100 amps on demand,
yeah.
2 amps isn't very impressive.
Exactly.
So what an interesting thing to see happening. But the government keeps pushing them.
Yeah.
And there's so much incentive. Hey, we'll give you an $8,000 tax credit that you can actually get paid back. So I don't know how a tax credit works if you get paid the money back. That's part of the corruption, I think, in our government.
Yeah.
But I'm all for alternative sources of energy.
Absolutely.
It's fine with me. But I don't think we should do it at the expense of the public. We shouldn't be investing billions and trillions of dollars in this. Companies that have the foresight or the knowledge to do this should be doing the research on their own. And then when they get it where it needs to be, they should charge accordingly to pay themselves for all their research.
Yeah. And, you know, they say that need is the mother of invention. You know, if I need something, I'm going to invent it. And I think what we're trying to do is legislate need to make things happen far faster than they need to happen.
Yeah.
And we're just not there yet. I think the hybrid is a fantastic system. It might be a little complex, but that's a good intermediate. Yeah. And maybe the push should be, let's go to a hybrid.
Yeah.
Now, my other thought I come back to, and I've always got this devil's advocate in my mind, is with electric car, there's a lot easier ways to shut it down.
Oh, yeah. Even
your new cars are coming out so computerized they can shut those down.
Yeah.
But this is completely electric and can be, you can call Tesla and they can do anything they want from where they're at.
Yeah.
In fact, there's one company that said if you don't make your car payment, we could turn your air conditioner off.
Yeah.
So it's letting everybody have access to that through electric is not always a good thing.
Well, they want to make your car totally electric so they can shut you on and off. They can control the grid. The grid can't even handle what we're trying to put on it already.
That's another issue.
And they could just shut the power off to your home, and you're not charging your car. You're not going anywhere versus gasoline. If I have a 5-gallon tank stuck in my garage, guess what I'm doing? I'm going somewhere.
Exactly.
And that, not only that, they're doing that to your money now. They want to get this bricks. They want to have the blockchain money. It's all going to be digital. Why? Turn it off.
Exactly. If you purchase something they don't think is something that you should purchase, or if you're spending too much or not enough, they can just flip the switch and control it.
Well, they don't have to. If they do that, they don't have to get rid of the Second Amendment. They just make it so your money doesn't work at gun dealers.
Exactly. And you know, if you're eating too much meat, they can make it so that your funds cannot buy meat.
Wow. What an amazing thing. And to think about this, so you look at where Biden started his presidency. What was the first thing he did? The very first thing he did was shut off our own oil production.
Exactly.
And go straight to our enemies and start buying more oil. And I think it directly ties to this push for EVs.
I do too. You know, we see him, he went over and talked to Saudi Arabia and begged them to lower the price in oil. And they just told him to take a flying leap. And they said, we're going to do what we want to do. And now we're even at the risk of losing the petrodollar.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll really hurt us. You think inflation's bad now. And speaking about that, let's look at the truth about Joe Biden's economy.
Yeah.
You think inflation's bad at 9%, and truly, that's the truth right now. We're at 9.1% inflation, not the little number they're talking about. They're trying to talk about cumulative numbers,
yes,
not the actual number. And I just... If we're at 9% without the petrodollar lost, and the petrodollar's lost, we're going to be at 30, 40, 50, 60%.
Exactly. This number we see on TV that says 3 and 4 and 5%, that's every month it's going up.
Yeah.
So if it was 5% this month and it went down to 3 this month, it's still up. Mm-hmm. It's just not up as much. It's still going up.
Yeah.
And that's something people don't understand. Just because he's down to 3% doesn't mean that we've lost inflation.
Yeah.
We're still have been inflated from that time.
Well, I look at some of the numbers that came out just recently, like eggs are up 33%. This is when I become a little jealous that you have your own chickens. I don't. Maybe I need some chickens. We'll see. But they say meat's up 8%. Well, I shop meat. And I think it's more than 8%, but I'm not sure. They say that cars are up 7%. I saw that spike when cars were hard to get during the COVID rebuilding and everything. Now, they're going way down. In fact, I think Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep? They're having so much problem getting rid of their cars now that they're begging people to buy them. There are lots. They have over 700-day supply, which is crazy to think of for a manufacturer.
Yeah, I've seen where they came out with the Grand Wagoneer again.
Yeah.
A real nice big looking. It's a nice looking vehicle.
It's a beautiful vehicle.
But now they're talking about it was its own brand, and now it's coming back under Jeep. They're trying to consolidate things and shrink things down and trying to get their self under control.
Yeah. Well, and then gas. Gas is up over 58%. His first day, Biden's first day in office, $2.39 was the average. But I can tell you, in where I'm from in Kansas, it was like $1.89 maybe.
Yeah.
And now $3.78. And I mean, this is just proof that the inflation rate is going way further than we ever thought it would.
The thing that's disappointing is we did see a dip down in gas, but that's because we were spending our Federal Reserve to try to offset the cost. It's kind of like a given incentive to build those wind generators.
Yeah.
Once that incentive is gone, no one's going to build them because they're too expensive.
Yeah.
Well, once all our federal oil supply is gone, the price is going to go back up to where it should be.
And actually, OPEC can say, oh, you don't even have reserves now, so we're going to raise it even higher. I think right now we're paying over $120 a barrel. And if we were pumping our own oil, I think it could be as low as $20 or $30 a barrel. I mean, if you owned the energy, if you owned the oil market, you would own the world in production again. We would rise right back up to the number one economy.
I find it interesting. I watched a special with Jay Leno in it, and Jay Leno said he thought the future was synthetic fuels and fuels that we could mix. He says the problem is they're up at about $7 or $8 a gallon. Well, once gas reaches that, then these will become an option too.
Yeah.
But Well,
it's in making a false need.
Yeah.
But here was an interesting graph you sent me, and I thought this was really eye-opening to see this.
Yeah, this is directly from the Bureau of Labor and Statistics data. And just to see the difference between each administration and how the inflation rate has gone up. And you can see Biden is way above everybody else on everything. Even George Bush the first was extremely high on things.
Yeah.
But you can see a huge difference between Trump and Biden. Now, I will give a little concession that we did have a pandemic.
Sure.
And we did shut down the economy. And it's not all his fault at the beginning, but all of his policies he's put in place have driven this even higher.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one that stands out to me the most is the energy one there.
Yeah.
Under Trump, we saw a rate of inflation of 1.6%. And under Biden, it's 37.2%.
Yep.
That is a direct effect of two different opinions. Buy oil from our enemies or make our own.
Exactly.
There's no other way to put it.
And I remember Obama, when he was in office, saying in order to get us off of gas, off of this fuel, they would necessarily have to hike the price.
Yeah.
So I think this is a way to get the price up so high that people like us who work for a living can hardly afford to put a full tank of gas in our car.
Well, look at Obama's number, 29.9%.
Exactly. That was their goal.
Yeah. And I remember him saying he wasn't concerned that gas would get to $10 a gallon. He might be a little concerned with how fast it got there.
Yeah. And you say, well, look, George Bush 1 is pretty high, but he was a globalist and so was his son. I mean, they're all on the same team. The only ones that aren't on the team would be Reagan and Trump. I think they were the outsiders, and they suffered the most criticism.
Well, and I think about the last statement Biden made about his jobs. He says, man, we've grown more jobs under my presidency than ever before. 8.6 million jobs.
Yeah, this is a falsehood. You know, he would come out and say, well, Trump lost all these jobs. Well, Actually, it was the pandemic, and actually, it was a bunch of liberals and fake Republicans that voted us to shut down.
I remember Trump shutting a few things down, saying, okay, we need to be cautious with this. But as soon as Trump was out, we shut everything down.
Yeah.
And really, truth be told, I think it's something like 3.7 million are real jobs that have been created, and the other jobs are just coming back from the pandemic.
Reclaimed. So yeah. Someone's opened up business again, and so they rehired their laid-off staff.
Yeah, and then last month they said, oh, well, we created, I think it was 180-some thousand jobs. But the truth of that is those were all part-time jobs given to non-U.S. citizens, when the actual full-time jobs by U.S. citizens shrank.
Yeah. You know, I work a second job, and they hardly have any full-time people at that job. Most everybody at this other place that I work is part-time.
Yeah.
We're seeing full-time jobs going away because they cost more for a company to have today. So mainly part-timers are doing most of the work.
Well, where do we see this in the Bible? I think we can turn directly right over to Revelation chapter 6.
Yeah, absolutely. This is where Jesus opens the third seal, and he releases the horse, and that horse comes out, and he has a pair of balances in his hand, and he says, you're going to buy a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And you say, well, Dave, I have no idea what that says. Those sound kind of antiquated
sounds
to me.
Sounds pretty good to me, a penny?
A penny sounds real good. Well, back in this day, a penny was actually, we're calling it a penny here, but it's actually a denarii.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a day's wages. And so for a measure of wheat, which would be a quart of wheat, some people will say a pound, but it's like a quart size of wheat, it's going to cost a whole day's wages just for that.
Wow.
For barley, for three measures of barley, it's going to cost a whole day's wages just for that.
Can you imagine at this minimum wage going in some places of $15 an hour? So let's think about this. A 10-hour day would be $150.
Yep.
So it's $120 a day you're making in an 8-hour day. Think about a loaf of bread costing you $120.
Oh, yeah. And we've seen this before on a small scale.
Yeah.
This is talking about a large scale. If you remember at the end of World War II, the money, the currency, the marks in Germany were so worthless that they were bringing wheelbarrows full to buy food, and they were burning it. They actually cost less to burn the money for fuel than to buy wood.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think about Venezuela.
Yep.
I think about Zimbabwe. I actually have a $1 trillion bill from Zimbabwe. It's worth like $4.
Yeah.
$1 trillion Zimbabwe dollars.
You know, and we're headed that way, and this is a definite sign of what's coming. I mean, our inflation's getting out of control. It seems like the policies we put in place are actually crushing us and knocking us back.
Yeah.
Now, some people say, well, Dave, what does it mean when it says, hurt not the oil or the wine? And, you know, in every tribulation, God is punishing the earth for iniquity.
Yeah.
It's punishing the earth for what's going on. There are going to be millions of people that die during this time.
Yeah.
But God does not want anybody to die.
No.
In fact, to die without him. He wants the wicked to come to him. And I think that what he's doing is he's leaving the oil and the wine as a little bit of a help me and saying, you know, there's still a little substance for those that want to find and those that search. I'm there for you.
Yeah. There's going to be enough to keep you alive, but it's going to be a suffering time.
Absolutely. It's going to be a horrific time.
I can completely see that. And then as we look at that, as we think of our own leaders leading us into this fray, this chaos, why would they do that?
It blows the mind. You know, I used to laugh and giggle when someone said to me, oh, the devil's behind it.
Yeah.
You know? And the older I get and the more I look, the more I say, you know, there's something to this. I think there is a scheme, and I don't know if these people are willing participants or if they are controlled participants, but someone who just pulls out a gun and shoots their own foot, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I really think that it is the devil. I think that he's working through our government to bring America to its knees. And I think he needs America at its knees because he needs Israel to not have Big Brother to help. And I really think that's where we're at. I think he's using it on purpose to just draw us down to nothing. And I'm going to tell you, I don't see America, the U.S. of A., anywhere in the Bible. Not in prophecy, not in Old Testament, not in New Testament, Nowhere in the Bible is America. And I think that's because the Bible deals with what I call nations. And you say, but Mark, we're a nation. Yeah. Not according to the Bible.
Right.
The Bible calls nations as people groups.
Yeah.
And America is really a blended people group. So it's the only place that you can move to and become American. You could move to Germany, but you can't become a German. But you can move to America and become American.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I don't think that America is shown in the Bible. And I find it interesting that most of the Old Testament deals with nation groups and, yeah. and people groups. It doesn't deal with individuals. Well,
yeah.
the New Testament, when Jesus came down to this earth and died for us on the cross, everything became personal.
Yes.
And the whole church age is personal.
Yeah.
And it says in Daniel's 70th week, which is our tribulation, that or the tribulation is going to be coming up soon, we're not here, and it goes back to nation dispensation.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I think that this is, in a sense, causing this chaos and this utter chaos. We see the world in complete chaos right now. And why do we see that? Well, it's preparing them for an Antichrist. And we see this man, is Paul Henry Spaak, one of the founders of the EU. And he says, we do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of the economic morass in which we are sinking. And this is the most important thing he says right here. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, we will receive him.
Isn't that amazing? Man, that man would accept somebody that's evil if he could solve the world's problems.
Yeah.
If he could put everybody in internment camps and do whatever, but as long as everybody was good and happy.
Wow. I mean, I just think about this. He just basically said, bring me the Antichrist and I'll hug him.
Yep.
And that's exactly what we see. We see a setup for the Antichrist, who's going to bring peace and everything. And we see them setting themselves up to be the gods. I mean, I think of this person here, Barbara Marks Hubbard. She talks about taking and killing off a fourth of the population. Well, if you read down the next verse of the Bible there, it starts talking about, or the eighth verse, it starts talking about taking a quarter of the population away. And she says, we're the agents to do this.
Exactly. You can see how people are biting right into this. You know, the Bible has a lot of history written ahead of time.
Yeah.
And you can see how these people are playing into this. And one of the things I find fascinating, we were talking about the other day, is how many people outside of the Bible have any clue what the Bible says, mm-hmm. and they have no idea
yeah.
that everything they're doing is going right along with what God said.
Yeah.
They think it's them,
yeah,
but yeah. it's not.
Yeah. Well, we want to finish today with just a few seconds here to talk about how you can have peace through this time. And that peace is found in Jesus Christ. And you place your faith and your trust in him that he came to earth. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. And he went to the cross to pay for your debt of sin and for my debt of sin. And you placed your trust in him that he's resurrected and gone before us and is waiting to call us home. Thanks for joining us today. We'll hope to see you the next time on Get Ready News.